Go.
Man, let's go.
Welcome
back to Bitcoin Center.
I'm Paul Tarantino.
And I'm Cedric Youngelman. This is brought to you by Bite Federal. Go bank yourself.
Go bank yourself. Find an ATM near you. Find a POS near you. And download our wallet and enjoy.
While we're waiting.
All right.
All right, here we go. Genius Act becomes first major crypto bill. Game changer or political theater? What's next?
I think it's a little of both, actually. I mean, the political theater obviously is the whole question around, does the Genius Act prevent a CBDC? Obviously not. There's other legislation coming. I think it's called the anti-CBDC bill that's passed the House. It's in the Senate. Like, I don't know why that didn't come up. They keep talking about this defense legislation that's coming down the road that they want to put anti-CBDC legislation in. But I believe the House has passed the anti-CBDC bill. Senate is going to vote on it next. But let's be real, right? Stable coins can be censored. Stable coins are programmable. If you think that like Facebook and Twitter started as free open platforms that then later got infiltrated by the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, et cetera, you have to assume that any corporation could be censored or bribed or forced into taking those kind of actions. So I there is only one currency in the world that is anti-CBDC, and it's Bitcoin. And I don't know why people are not making that correlation. Stable coins are inherently censorable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that no one agrees on what CBDCs are. I don't know how they're defining it.
A good point. I think it's probably the Fed.
Is it a relationship with the Fed and the consumer?
Right.
Is it a relationship with the Fed and the commercial banks? Is it about financial surveillance? So like when I hear an anti-CBDC law or, you know, it's in the House and the Senate, like what does that actually prevent and how?
Yes.
And how are they defining, you know, what it is? But I think CBDCs are coming if we don't already have them.
Yeah.
Already.
In one way, regardless of the name, we're going to get a digital fiat token that is sensible, can be monitored, can be restricted, can be turned off, can be turned on, counts can be frozen. Like that just is the reality. If there's an upside to all of this is that hopefully it is the training wheels that get people into Bitcoin, right? If you adopt a digital currency that's a stable coin and you think you're doing crypto and then you're censored, you'll quickly learn that the only uncensorable monetary unit on the planet is Bitcoin. So you can either go there now or you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So Schwab said they're going to launch spot Bitcoin trading. Do you think this is positive for mainstream adoption?
Well, I think everything is good for Bitcoin. Yeah, this is a net positive for Bitcoin. I saw a clip from the CEO of Charles Schwab. They have $10 trillion in assets under management, or their customers do. And the question was along the lines of, like, are your customers not able to buy Bitcoin? And he kind of said, well, look, our customers are already in for $25 billion in the Bitcoin ETF. So that makes them like one of the largest holders as an exchange of the Bitcoin ETFs for their customers.
Yeah.
That's a drop in the bucket for them. And they want the action. They asked him, are you a competitor Coinbase? And he said, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And our customers have $10 trillion and we control large swaths of the market, meaning like the $100 trillion, $200, $300 trillion market. And they want a piece of the action. They want you to bring your Coinbase Bitcoin to Schwab and then buy more there.
Yep.
And, you know, when you talk about, is this a net positive? I mean, this is a centralizing force.
Yeah.
This is just like all the other players trying to get it into their custody and custodial custody. And
I think to the extent that it is a competitive force against IBIT, which is just now this like million, I think they own over a million Bitcoin now.
Sure.
So the fact that other broker dealers are going to feel pressure to do something different and to maybe offer real Bitcoin and allow for removal into self-storage, hopefully, I think this is where this end game goes, right? If you're going to try and one-up your competitors, try and give your clients a reason to come to you instead, you're going to have to sell them on the true properties of Bitcoin.
Sure.
And so hopefully that's where this is leading. And, you know, but I mean, right, the first incentive is Coinbase is charging 3 or 4% in a transaction when you include markups.
I think this is a
they want that revenue.
And I'll make the argument that I think that for most people in the world, they like trust in our society.
And
if you ask most Bitcoiners, wives or husbands, where do you want the Bitcoin?
Right.
In self-custody, at River, at Swan, or Binance, or Schwab. And they would say all hands down, like Schwab.
Yeah, well, and that's where the boomers are. That's where the boomers' money's at.
Yep.
And they'd rather wait till Schwab has it than go open a Coinbase again.
Well, I don't think that, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people in the world, reasonably so, who are going to use trusted institutions to manage part or all of their wealth.
Yeah, 100%.
And I, you know, that goes back to, like, not everyone wants to wear a necklace and fight off predators.
I think the win is that we're slowly orange peeling.
Well, okay, this is a good one.
Look, Joe, I think that what we need to do is examine the entire Federal Reserve institution and whether they have been successful. I'm speaking, actually, I'm going to be in the building this evening. There is a regulatory conference that begins tomorrow. I'm the keynote speaker tonight talking about regulation. The Fed as well deals with monetary policy, regulations, financial stability. And I think that we should think, has the organization succeeded in its mission? You know, if this were the FAA and we were having this many mistakes, we would go back and look at why has this happened? I mean, look at the, as you said, at the top of the this broadcast, there was fear mongering over tariffs. And thus far, we have seen very little, if any, inflation. We've had great inflation numbers. So, you know, I think this idea of them not being able to break out of a certain mindset, you know, all these PhDs over there, I don't know what they do. This is like universal basic income for, you know, academic economists.
Wow, that is insane. It's so good.
Yes, Secretary Treasury Bessent questions the value of the Fed.
Yes.
Is Trump on a mission to kill the Fed?
I don't think he wants to kill the Fed. I think he wants to have it under his control, though. Look, so if you look at all the pressure the entire administration has been putting on the Fed from all these different angles, the end goal is lower interest rates, and Powell's not accommodating. So the pressure is going to continue until he gets in line. And the reason why they want lower interest rates is because they need financial repression. Like Lynn Alden, Luke Gromen have been saying this for 5 years straight. When you get into a fiscal dominant situation, the only way out is through financial repression. You've got to keep interest rates artificially low, run inflation high to devalue the debt. And Trump, Trump knows this. This is what the Big Beautiful Bill is all about. This is why Elon's saying we have no choice but to grow out of this.
But I do think they're trying to kill the Fed, and they're trying to blow up these institutions.
I think
because they're not doing what they want.
Yeah.
They're acting emotionally, and they're trying to say, let's kill the Fed. And if we're going to give you the CBDCs, we're going to not give you. But a central bank digital currency. Let's break that down. Central bank digital currency.
Yeah.
You need an issuer. You need a central bank for the digital currency.
Right.
And they want to replace the Fed
with stable coins.
With stable coins, but issued algorithmically. That
really?
Doesn't mean not, and programmably.
But they're not talking about.
No, they're not talking about algorithmically. It now,
they're talking about.
But they want to kill the Fed. So who are they going to replace their Fed with?
Well, they.
Oh, well, this perfect computer.
Yes.
We built a perfect computer
that's
going to do what the Fed's supposed to do. And you buy
the original, like the first bank of the United States, the Secretary of the Treasury ran the Fed. They were one in the beginning.
Right. And they want to merge those probably.
They looks like they want to bring it back to that point. But the whole reason why they want to bring it back to that point is so they can run financial repression.
Totally. And I think
so they can devalue the debt relative to GDP. That's the end goal. And if it means killing the Fed, fine. But if you look at the other Fed officials that are talking favorably about a more, what's the right word? A more favorable relationship with the Treasury, And working with the Treasury, working on, what did they call it, like a new accord between the Treasury and the Fed or something like that, they were saying, you know, that this is what, where we're going, or where they want it to go. They want the Treasury and the Fed to be working together to save the United States from a full-on financial debt bubble pop. And so financial repression is what needs to happen. All right. The ETFs and self-custody. So self-custody growth has slowed since the ETF. Do you think we should be worried about Bitcoin centralizing?
Well, I think that's, I don't think we should be worried about it in the way that we should be fretting. And, you know, there's nothing you can do as an individual except to take custody of your own Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very interesting fact that Willy Woo points out. First time in 15 years, self-custody is not increasing in terms of like adoption.
Yeah.
It's decreasing. And I think it's clear from the Bitcoin treasury companies and the ETFs that people are acquiring either new Bitcoin and not self-custodying, or even just exchanging into those things. But it's an interesting point to me.
Yeah. So I don't, and you know, if you, the only thing I can do is go back to the block wars, where the nodes really made the difference. So regardless of how many coins one individual or entity owns, it's going to come down to the nodes. And I have recently changed my mind on this a little bit, and I could be wrong, and maybe I'll flip-flop back the other direction again. But I'm thinking more in terms of the more institutions and the more embedded Bitcoin gets in Wall Street, the larger their financial incentive is to preserve the quality of the network. So I think to a certain degree, attacking it would be destroying their own revenue source.
In the long term.
In the long term. As like the IBIT ETF becomes the most successful and largest, most profitable ETF ever.
Brings in the most fees for them.
Then they have an incentive, financial incentive, not to attack the network. So I'm still torn. I don't like the idea that, you know, that people that don't have Bitcoin ethos are involved.
They also have a financial incentive to rehypothecate Bitcoin Bitcoin.
Yeah, but Bitcoin is for enemies, and people are going to do stupid things with Bitcoin, and they're going to hurt themselves. But what's the protocol? Who's running the protocol? Who's forming the consensus? And so if we're maintaining decentralized nodes and we're maintaining decentralized mining, I think all the other games will be played and they go away over time.
I think you're right, for sure. But I, you know, it's an interesting stat to look at. Last one on around the block. Powell defends.
Powell,
I thought.
Telegram.
Oh, Telegram. Ooh. Defense Fed building.
No, you got the wrong question.
I got the wrong question. Ah, there's a new one here.
I know the question because this is for me. So Telegram launched their crypto wallet today.
Yeah.
I brought this up because I was furious because there's all these Bitcoin, I'm not going to name names, but supposed Bitcoin media companies, Bitcoin news organizations on X, praising Telegram for launching a Bitcoin wallet. There is no Bitcoin in this wallet. There's no way to get access to Bitcoin in this wallet. It's his Tone token and It's a bunch of shit coins. It's a shit coin casino. It is like, and it just drove me crazy that these BTC media companies just throw the word Bitcoin around like it's like everything is Bitcoin.
Maybe for them. I'm not defending it, but.
You know who you are, and if you do like 5 minutes of freaking research, like open up a wallet or just ask ChatGPT if there's Bitcoin in the wallet, or just do a little bit.
Well, how much do you think? I mean, maybe those news stories were planted, you know, paid for, sort of.
No, these are just like media bots just ripping off headlines and regurgitating stuff, and everybody's like, "Oh, Telegram a Bitcoin wallet." Like, no, they didn't. It's a shitcoin wallet. There's not even Lightning in there. There's no Lightning in the wallet.
Right. Nothing to do with Bitcoin.
Like if Pavel's going to make the case of like, oh, I need something that moves faster, well, then use Lightning. But this is the guy who said, I have 100 million in Bitcoin on other podcasts. He's talked about how he loves freedom.
Yeah.
And now he
won't build
it. Doesn't have freaking Bitcoin. If anybody should be able to put Bitcoin in a wallet, it should be him. He's got like 12 super coders working on his wallet. Like, give me a break, man.
I'm with you.
I'm very, very disappointed. Very disappointed in Telegram. There,
but we got to go to the next thing. Please like and subscribe if you're enjoying Bitcoin Center.
Okay, so this is. All right, Tether. Tether's bringing USDT to the US. What's the difference between onshore and offshore Tether?
What I think of there is that they're going to do, like, on onshore, there'll be no financial surveillance, no limiting factors.
Onshore?
Onshore. In America.
There'll be no surveillance.
For a period of time, yes. And I think that the offshore Tether that is acting as a sort of monetary colonialism might come with much more weaponized monetary policy than onshore.
Oh, wow.
To start. Okay. And I think that that might be a way.
Number one, I don't agree with you.
Well, that's fine.
I think there'll be surveillance regardless of the jurisdiction.
There'll be surveillance. There already is surveillance in Tether. We'll get to that. But I think that the differences would be that maybe it's less painful onshore than offshore.
Okay.
That's my running theory. I'm not saying it's going to be painless.
Well, I'll bring up a different topic about this. So here's what I find interesting about this, right? So Tether onshore is going to be exclusively backed by treasuries. Tether offshore.
Right. So much cleaner market, much more,
treasuries and Bitcoin.
Right. Keeping the Bitcoin out of America. That makes sense.
Play that out over the next two decades. And tell me which Tether is going to be more desirable, which Tether is going to preserve more purchasing power.
That doesn't mean it's going to be shared. That purchasing power is not going to be shared with the end user on the offshore Tether. That doesn't mean it's going to be passed on, per se.
Or
they could just sell out, rebalance, calibrate, and or just scoop those
themselves. I think there's going to be a case to be made where this is going to end really interesting for onshore Tether versus offshore Tether.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how it plays out. Let's get to the next one. UK yield spikes as government eyes 5 billion Bitcoin sales. Oh, yeah. Is selling Bitcoin their best hope? Should they sell and pay off the debt?
They're not even close to paying off the debt. UK debt's 2-point-something
trillion.
Don't
they have to sell it under, like, UK law, though, that, like...
Oh, I don't know.
I think there's other things here that also probably don't get described well in mainstream media.
So when has anybody in the political sphere ever had to follow rules and regulations? Number one. Number two, $2-point-something trillion dollars in debt. $5 billion Bitcoin sale doesn't even put a drop in the bucket.
Right.
The only thing they're doing is trying to signal to people that are clueless that Bitcoin's not worth anything to them. Mm. Or they're the dumbest people in the room, which I haven't seen a lot of educated political figures. People can hate me for that if they want. There's usually smart people behind them, but the people at the front aren't usually the smartest people.
Yes.
And so somebody's telling her to say this, throw it out there. Maybe this is a, let's run this story and see what the feedback is. But this is a joke. This is the only hope you have is holding this Bitcoin because the country's going bust.
It's
a joke.
I agree.
All right. Okay, back to Tether. Tether, you're all over the place. Tether freezes a wallet. Again, is Tether a CBDC in disguise?
Yeah, I mean, they're already freezing wallets. I think they've onboarded the FBI in 2023. I think I read in one of Michelle's weekly tweets.
Yeah, Michelle covered this very, very well.
Yeah, I think it's here. Tether to allow FBI access as crypto cooperation sign of maturity. Look how it's painted in the media.
FBI, that's
after the Secret Service.
The FBI is doing surveillance in the United States. That's not the CIA, that's the FBI, which flies in the face of what you were saying before about onshore Tether
being less surveilled. Not more surveilled. I'm not saying no surveillance here. I'm saying it's going to be worse, like maybe more social credit scoring. Maybe,
so the FBI is in.
Maybe it gets turned off.
And maybe now the Republicans are safe, but maybe in the next administration they're not.
I agree.
Don't kid yourself. These are not, they're not decentralized tokens.
True.
There's lots of good things that I'm not slamming Tether. I think by and large, they're probably the best stable coin out there. As far as I'm concerned, I've used them. I think highly of them as a company, but they're going to be subject to the pressures of the state because they're a company.
Yeah,
in the United States.
I mean, you could look at fiat from different ways. And in a lot of ways, fiat is a technological improvement on gold in terms of scalability and divisibility and speed of transfer and transactions and all of this. So it's only natural that that keeps evolving.
But it's not going to help you preserve your wealth. It's not going to help you preserve purchasing power. But I do think
stablecoins are going to be better for people who have no access to the dollar.
Sure. Offshore, I mean, anybody who's living in a country with a worse fiat currency, this is a step up. This is a win for
them. It's like an ABC test. Like, so C is like the worst currency, B is the dollar, and A is still Bitcoin. But most people don't know about A.
Hopefully that's the long game, right?
Yeah.
All right.
The Clarity Act introduces a mature blockchain test. Is it a problem if other crypto are deemed mature?
Another case of political brilliance.
So this word mature.
So this mature blockchain. So they're describing this. They even said like you could start as a security, but if you have a plan for decentralization, where and you can prove that the founder and or a group of people doesn't have control over the network.
Wow. This is why they backdoored in on the Howey test. Yeah.
So this is really unfortunate that this is clauses even in this act, because it's going to now put this back into the hands of the SEC to decide if it's efficiently or, you know, effectively decentralized or not, decentralized enough that it could be considered a commodity.
But I want to ask you a question. So when you say, you know, there could be stable coins, I think have a purpose. And I think that they're better, you know, than other, you know, you can compare them, let's say. So then you look at something like, I'm not into crypto, Bitcoin, not shitcoin. But from the perspective of people who are interested in this, from the people who want stable coins and these things for their political purposes, are they committed to Ethereum? Why is this even in there?
Why
is it always about Ethereum though? It seems like, or is Solana still in the conversation? How does that work?
Like, I mean, I do think there's some truth to the idea that maybe this is even in this because Ethereum was considered decentralized enough.
Still seems like a dying network.
And if they gave that quality to Ethereum, that they wanted to be able to pass that opportunity on to other coins. I wouldn't be surprised if it was crypto lobbyists that pushed to get this in there, because they all want to get out of the security bucket. They all want, like, and ETH is the only one that's was jumped out of the security bucket. And Ripple.
But because I don't see any of them surviving long. I would think the government would come up with some other new.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
They could use. I don't know.
It's a joke. There's no clarity out of this at all.
Okay.
It's mine now. El Salvador halts Bitcoin purchases.
Yeah, you didn't know about this?
No, I had no idea.
Is he abandoning Bitcoin since 2024?
What?
That they've just been moving internal transfers around and sort of like, you know, saying, we bought more Bitcoin, but they were just moving the library. Read the tweets and he could pull it up. But like right here, El Salvador hasn't bought Bitcoin since December 2024, says IMF report.
Okay,
fine.
That's immediately bullshit.
Well, I don't know if it's immediately bullshit. I don't know. To be a critical thinker, I'd want to read the article, the whole thing. And if you read through it says, though, that most the declared buys since 2024 have been internal.
Bukele's wallet is public, right? So you just check the wallet balance.
Yeah, but you don't know where it's coming from.
But is it that's the wallet for the Central Reserve Bank?
New money. It's
what's it from? Where did it come from? Maybe it came from the Central Reserve Bank, because the Central Reserve Bank was running like a pool.
Goes further that they're going that and they're just transferring that legal tender.
Well, yeah.
Okay, and that they're privatizing the wallet, Chivo.
Right.
So it just goes further, and just is this sort of the the question is he abandoning the Bitcoin?
No, I think this is all FUD. I don't think he's abandoning the experiment. I think he's simply, playing chess with the IMF until they're gone.
Or he's a, you know, they
I mean, the IMF is
or
like,
it's a plant.
The IMF is going to die before the Fed.
And they want this to fail.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
We'll see. Regular. Oh, yeah. Coinbase sues Oregon.
Yeah.
Over surprise Bitcoin policy reversal. Regulators losing ground here. What do you think?
Okay. So this is an interesting story because what really happened here is Oregon did not. This is another one of those fucking driving me crazy titles that they. This is all about Bitcoin. It has nothing to do with Bitcoin. Their view on Bitcoin is it's a commodity. 31 shitcoins got labeled a security. Coinbase is upset because before they could sell those shitcoins in Oregon without worrying about them being securities. And Coinbase is upset because they did this, supposedly Oregon did this without any public disclosure, behind closed doors, fast, and then went after Coinbase for selling securities. So it does look a little squirrely from that perspective in the way they handled it with Coinbase. They should have sent them a warning, hey, you know, this we're going to do this, so you need to stop selling these coins here in our state. So that does look squirrely. But the title just pisses me off
right. That
everybody's throwing around this everything's Bitcoin. Bitcoin is none of that garbage. So stop talking like it is.
Well, if you're enjoying the chit-chat here, please like and subscribe.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's move on to the next
follow up.
This one's signing of the Genius Act, whether you believe it is a watershed moment for the crypto industry and whether you think there are additional catalysts that the industry will be watching for.
Yeah, it's certainly very important. What is interesting is actually Bitcoin itself is a threat to the dollar as a reserve currency. I didn't think the BRICS, which he mentioned, them getting together, was really any threat at all. But Bitcoin actually has the chance to replace dollars and euros to some extent. So in some ways, there's two things. Now, I love the tethered dollar part of this bill. There's a lot of good things about this bill. And he's perfectly right. I mean, the financial industry has been in a frozen state for 40 years. Transfers across nations, across time zones, et cetera, are just way too costly and way too slow. And, you know, this has an ability to really speed it up. I think this whole question of whether the Fed should do it, I really think the Fed should encourage the commercial banking system.
So what do you think? Do you think Jeremy Siegel let the cat out of the bag and he's looked
it
inside the Trojan
so
horse?
Choreographed. And, like, where was this guy a year ago? Where was CNBC a year ago? But all of a sudden they want stable coins and he comes out and he says these things and he loves Tether all of a sudden, gets the whole vision around treasuries.
Sure.
Well, it's he's just like choreographed and it's coming from Wharton.
Yeah, he's an economics.
Master. Like he was talking about this like the last 5 years, I think.
I mean, he was anti-Bitcoin.
Wow.
He was anti-crypto. Most interesting about this quote is that he all of a sudden now is like, instead of saying, oh, Bitcoin's a joke, oh, Bitcoin's for drug dealers, now all of a sudden Bitcoin is a threat to the dollar and the euro.
Right.
So I would reckon that behind closed doors, they've been having that discussion for a long time.
Right.
Let's keep Bitcoin out of the system. And
how did
now
they tee him up then? Like, how did they, like, all right.
No, that's what I mean when I said I think he let the cat out of the bag, that behind closed doors, they do know that Bitcoin's a threat to the dollar.
Totally.
And he wants,
like, he just awoken. It's like, what was his aha moment and when?
Oh, I'm sure.
So
I mean, if you're an economics professor, right, you're going to go through, you know, it's a joke, then you're going to have denial, and then you're going to start to panic. He's on the edge of starting to panic.
I'm going to follow this. I want to dig in a little more. All right.
Okay.
Dormant 2011 whale moves 80,000 Bitcoin to Galaxy Digital. What does high whale activity signal for the market?
Okay. So that 80,000 Bitcoin, from what I understand, a very small percentage of it did go to some exchanges, but the vast majority of it is still sitting at Galaxy. It doesn't mean... We still have no idea whether this 80,000 Bitcoin is going to be slowly bled into the bull market to be sold, or if there's so many other things that could be happening, right? Galaxy's involved in a lot of Bitcoin treasury companies. A big chunk of that Bitcoin could be moving into a BTC treasury for a public offering that's coming. It could be joining a current public company in the near future. There's lots of things that can be done with that Bitcoin besides just liquidating it.
It's so fascinating.
Yes, it is.
It is asleep for 14 years, and it wakes up around $8 billion, not one in dollar terms. But if you would think about someone sort of financializing their life, or even securing their big, like,
look at, man,
think around $1 billion, they would be like, oh, you know, like, oh, let me move this, let me sell this, let me,
like, whatever. Why wait this long?
Why wait the extra, like,
well, a lot of it, I think because of the regulatory clarity. Could you imagine, like, trying to move that much Bitcoin into a Wall Street firm when it's choke point 2.0 in the Biden administration? Do you think Galaxy would have been subpoenaed? I mean, like, I want to know who this person is, and that guy would have been got a knock at his door. Sure. Like this is like point. Yeah. So
They say Bitcoin's not private, and look at us—we can't tell who this is.
All right, Jack Dorsey's block is joining the S&P 500. Is this a turning point for Bitcoin-friendly fintechs?
Well, I like that it gets, you know, however you want to say it, Bitcoin exposure to the S&P 500.
Yeah.
You know, through their treasury. And I think that's, it'll be interesting to see how it goes over the next 6 to 12 months. Like, does the S&P 500 inclusion hasn't always resulted in a company stock price booming or doing well after. I really want to see that. And that's still future looking. But did it really pump at this point from it before, during, after? I think it's doing well, but like, I think it shows, shines a light on how maybe MicroStrategy might be treated going forward as they get included.
Well, I've got a couple of different takes. Number one, Jack, you should call Galaxy and get that 80,000 Bitcoin on your balance sheet. Number two, I do like the fact that Block is very Bitcoin focused and centric, and they're actually building Bitcoin products to help people use Bitcoin the right way. I love that he's going to start receiving passive flows from people that have no idea what Bitcoin is, that are just sending money to the S&P every week in their 401k. So he's going to get some of that money. That's going to go into Bitcoin products and Bitcoin development. So for that, I'm happy, and congratulations, Jack.
Oh, that's great. Let's see what goes. France proposes mining Bitcoin with nuclear surplus. Is this a definitive shift in Bitcoin's climate impact FUD?
So I don't know about that. I mean, I think, you know, I know France is like 70% nuclear, and they have tried to pass a similar piece of legislation in the past, and it got shot down. The nuclear energy is not very, it can't be like turned off and turned on, right? So it's not like your gas well or your coal production plant, right? So when they have low demand, that's just wasted energy. And the bill is simply saying, like, we could use that wasted energy intermittently to mine Bitcoin. And they're saying like 100 to 150 million a year in revenue.
Yep.
It makes sense not to do it.
When does the global hash rate wars really start? When all the countries start pointing nuclear at hashing?
Yeah, it's just so silly that you have a wasted resource and you're not going to let somebody mine Bitcoin on it because you're part of the European Union and you got to have this, like, our currency is so strong. The whole world knows your currency is shit and dying.
Imagine dropping the small nuclear reactors now, like, as that's evolving, and like develop parts of the world that we've never.
Dude, I'm sure that's coming. That's coming in the United States. They're probably gonna. That's probably
how light up the Everglades.
no, stay away. Okay.
I think the margin compression on all of these fees would go to basically zero.
All the credit card coming to the superintendent of the Department of Financial Services. You don't mean her, AXA. You mean if you were a person who
If you were a person trying to understand where this all goes directionally, if this works the way it's supposed to work, you would think that it would take out a lot of margin. And then the question, who is going to capture that margin?
So that is the promise of stablecoin, right, is that it is redoing the financial infrastructure so things can move more quickly, they can move more cheaply, faster, right, across borders and all of that. So I will stay away from giving investment.
No, all right. So look at the do stable coins kill Visa and MasterCard? I have an opinion. What's yours?
Well, I just think that it's more narrative, like seeding, and that it's you're going to want to use these stable coins so they can sell treasuries, and they'll sacrifice MasterCard and Visa at that altar if that's if I don't think it necessarily leads to lower fees actually at all.
Yeah. So I think Visa and MasterCard will quickly adopt stable coins.
They already are.
And the reason being is that because it will eliminate settlement risk. And that is a huge, probably one of their biggest costs is all the settlement risk and fraudulent transactions that take place, transactions that get reversed. And, I didn't go to that restaurant. And you really did go to that restaurant. Or, I didn't authorize that charge and you just couldn't return the product. That's a huge cost and expense for them. That's why their fees are so high. I think Visa and MasterCard see the future. They know that they need to adopt stable coins. They need to reduce settlement risk. They need to lower their fees to stay relevant. And they'll still be issuing you credit. They'll just be using this tool to make their business more efficient. So the answer for me is no. It doesn't kill
us. Yeah. And they'll be the biggest adopters, maybe. Yes.
Yeah. So, that's
awesome
my view.
Show brought to you by Bite Federal. Go bank yourself. Also, wallet and point of sale services.
Yeah, visit our website, bitefederal.com. Like
we got a little question. Podcast.
Oh, we go. Let's do it.
Coming from me, but still a good question.
SpaceX just moved 1,308 Bitcoin, 153 million for the first time in 3 years. Something big coming. That's interesting. What do you think?
I have no idea what
he seems to be teasing Bitcoin again.
Maybe they're just trying to secure it differently, right? There's a lot of reasons to move your Bitcoin. Elon is not good at keeping secrets, so it seems like to me like he would be telling us exactly what he's doing. If it wasn't,
I would love to hear the upgrading security that SpaceX is going through. If that's the case,
yeah,
that'd be fascinating. What kind of a rigorous protocol they put that through? What they chose or choose?
How much? How much? I wonder how many nodes are running on SpaceX satellites.
I have no idea. I wonder how many Bitcoin treasury companies are running a node.
That's a good question.
Do they just have someone like on campus? They're like, hey, can you just
A lot of them are not running
like,
nodes.
You would think, but it's like so inexpensive to spin one up. And there's so much, like you would probably say, wasted manpower on a lot.
That's kind of goes to my point earlier in this conversation is that I don't think a lot of them are running nodes. I think they're just buying the Bitcoin and they're having somebody custody it for them. Right. And then they're going to play the financial games, acquire more.
Custody with someone else, like you could still run a node.
Well,
like
Coinbase is running nodes, right? Coinbase is running nodes.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
You hope.
They have to be running nodes. They have
one
to be
node.
Syncing.
They got one node in the closet.
Oh, I'm sure they got more.
How many nodes do you think Coinbase is running?
Oh, I don't know. Several.
Yeah, you think?
I would think so.
Yeah, you think they're like, yeah, like a, yeah, that'd be interesting. I would love to find out. What
they gotta have redundancy. I'm sure they've got different jurisdictions. Like, so I bet you they're at least running several.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
They might be running them on AWS, but I don't know.
You know, like has anyone at Amazon spun up a node? Anyone at Mike? Do you think Microsoft?
No, they're not.
Spun up a node. Anyone in the connections at shareholder review? Do you think anyone on corporate payroll was given the task of like the board would like to know what the node setup process is like? And have Harry down in marketing. He's just got out of college. Have him spin up a node.
Right. Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
All right. I don't know if we got any more. Francis, do we have any more questions?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Come back next week, 8 a.m. Don't be here at 8 a.m. because I won't be here.
Another episode of Bitcoin Center. My name is Cedric Youngelman.
Paul Tarantino. Have a great night.
Brought to you by Bite Federal. Go bank yourself.